Today in the church, anthems are raising. The modern church has songs with lyrics that are powerful if we will listen to them, much like ancient hymns. We now have songs that will shift our perspective from what's happening around us or in us into God's big picture, move us into walking in the realm that God sees. We become part of his sweeping story and his love for mankind. There's tons of great worship music and styles out there. Those of you that know me fairly well, I pretty much like all genres of music. In particular, I pretty much like all genres of Christian music. There's Christian music that's influenced by culture, background, not just our culture, but lots of, and then styles, you know, different groups. Guys, if you come on a trip to Puerto Rico with us, the style of worship, it will rattle you, okay? I mean, it is loud, and everybody is up, everybody is dancing and moving. It's part of who they are, okay? And I love it. I just love it. And it's different, though. As we traveled in Costa Rica, we found kind of a very similar style, but it would start out loud and really moving and kind of more like we were young in the vineyard. You'd get that first couple of songs, it kind of gets you out of your seat, wake you up, I don't know. I don't know if it's a human thing or if we just really fight an enemy. Do you guys ever get up on Sunday morning and feel like you're more exhausted than you have been all week? Yeah, I think that happens to me too. Thank God for the excitement in my heart that I want to go to church, okay? Because there's a lot of Sundays that'd be like, oh, God, hi, Jesus, can I just lay here? So Costa Rica kind of leaned into that old vineyard style of one or two really upbeat songs, not to try to stir your emotions, but to get you woke up, and then moved kind of into intimacy. So those styles, we loved it. I was water baptized, some of you know this, by a Hispanic pastor in an all-black church. Okay? And so you talk about a mix of cultures and a whole different style of worship. But it was wonderful. Now, truthfully, I don't do too good with opera, whether it's worship or something else. I have to honestly say, not my cup of tea. So we've got all of these styles. Some of our vineyard worship leaders have become really, really well known. But to me, there really is something a little different about our vineyard music. What is it? Our vineyard music sprang from our local congregations, from our small groups, from people meeting Jesus. Our vineyard music came from humble hearts. People oftentimes unsuspecting that God was calling them into a ministry of writing and leading worship. So there's something about those roots that I love. Vineyard intentionally rejects the whole Christian superstar culture. Just not who we are. So even though our worship leaders have great talents and giftings and faithfulness, those things were all recognized inside the local church, not for somebody seeking to write the next Christian hit. John Wimber, one of our early leaders, some call the founder, was known for a simple no-hype policy for every leader, including worship leaders. The concept in the vineyard no-hype policy was and remains no emotional manipulation, and it's not a performance. Okay? We've got some fantastic pastors pastoring huge churches. But a lot of times, unfortunately, it's their charisma as a pastor, as a teacher that is filling that pew. They pass, and a lot of times those churches will shrink. I have seen churches literally lose 2,000 people over a pastor change. And not that it was a bad pastor change. It's just they became attached to the pastor and not to Christ. We try to avoid that. Now, guys, I'll be really honest with you. The Holy Spirit has to help me all the time. Because if you know me even a little bit, you want to know something that will excite me. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about God's word. Let's talk about missions. Let's talk about what's happening with Christ. Let's talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit. I get excited. I'm more emotional than most people realize. And when I get excited, it shows. And so the Holy Spirit has to remind me, I don't want my excitement to rub off to affect you just to an emotional state where you're excited because someone else around you is excited. What I want is the Holy Spirit to impact your life. So if something happens and there is an emotional reaction, it's because of an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord reminds me, don't let your excitement be your guide. I want the Holy Spirit to always do what only the Holy Spirit can do. I'm not a little Holy Spirit. I might be an assistant hound of heaven, but I'm not a little Holy Spirit. I can be a pest if you stray off. Guys, today we're going to talk about a song. And I want you to listen. There's some pictures to go with it. It's a little 3-minute video clip about the writing of this song.
I wrote God of Our Mothers and Fathers a little over a year ago. I guess I should say I actually finished it a little over a year ago. I was at a writing retreat in New York City with some friends, and I had a morning co-write with my good buddy Andy Squires, and we were able to finish what had been sitting on my phone probably for over a year. If you're a songwriter, you know what I mean. You have these fragments that sit in the voice memos, and sometimes you forget about them. Anyway, I had this fragment that I had not forgotten about, but I just couldn't get anywhere with. I had the first verse written. And really, I wrote that first verse the year previous because I just had this idea or thought, and I couldn't shake it. And the idea is pretty straight ahead, especially if you've heard the song, you totally get it. But it's this. Growing up, I've had a ton of really amazing encounters with God. I just feel like God has been really near to me, and I've had a bunch of experiences of the kindness of the Lord and really just what I would call the overwhelming touch of the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's forever changed who I am. And now I'm a father, have 4 kids, they're getting older. My oldest one just graduated high school. My youngest is 7. And they've all grown up in church, and they're brilliant, and they're beautiful kids. But the idea I had was, I've had all these encounters with the Spirit, and I want my family, I want my kids to have the same kinds of stories. I want my kids to have the same kinds of encounters. I want my kids to know the Spirit. And not just my kids, but I want to know that the generation coming up behind me will get to have a renewal experience. I want the generation that's coming up behind me at my church and in the vineyard and around the world, I want that generation to be able to have their own stories that are life-changing. I want them to feel like their life has been marked by God. I don't want it to just be something that happened with me or my generation and ends with us. So that's really the heart behind the song. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that God would come and move, and that everybody would get to know His love and His kindness, not just in a head knowledge sort of way, but in their heart and in their emotions and, dare I say, in their bodies, like to feel and know the embrace of God.
Wow. Guys, I was so excited as I had a couple of songs to choose from. They were both great. But the opportunity to share the roots of this song. Humble, honest beginnings. There was no great strategy to write a Christian anthem or hit that got radio time. It started as a tiny, incomplete thought, a melody recorded in a voice memo on a phone. But when that melody and that first line were brought together with two other writers, Andy Squires and Casey Corum, the Holy Spirit breathed life into that song. And it became not just a voice memo and a little verse, but it became transforming into a prayer, to a cry for generational revival. Wow. As we talk about God of our mothers and fathers today, I want to tie it into the scripture. My prayer is this, that our faith will expand. That if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, my prayer is today is your day. I pray that for every one of you, your legacy as Christ followers will outlive you to multiple generations of your bloodline and beyond outside your bloodline. So let's talk about this. Who is this God we worship? He's not a distant force. May the force be with you. Oh, wait a minute. That's old history. But I can pray, may Jesus be with you, because that's current. He is a God who is not only the creator of all things, the master, the ruler of heaven and earth. He is a God that is intimately woven into his family's life. If you know Jesus, you are now woven into the life of the body of Christ. And that means the Spirit, Holy Spirit, abides in you. Wow. So the opening of the song reflects a cry. God of our mothers and fathers, come now and move among us. Some of you in this room had the privilege of having Christian parents, or maybe one of your parents was a Christian. Some of you did not. But that's not the mother and fathers we're talking about. It's far beyond that. Those mothers and fathers. Who's the father of the faith? Anybody know? I see it being whispered. I can't hear you. The father of the faith, the scripture calls him. Abraham. Okay? That's our mothers. That's our fathers. We're looking back to them. God of our mothers and fathers, come now among us. Look at what Exodus 3 and 14 through 15 says. I don't know what's up with my screen today. Every time I touch it, it shrinks about this big. Okay. And most of it's in my head, but duh. Here's what it says. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's translated into English, obviously. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name that you shall call me from generation to generation. That's where that's grabbed from, right out of Exodus. Okay? That God. Fathers, the mothers of our faith our ancient Christian ancestors that are still part of the body of Christ, as the scripture teaches us, looks on from heaven. And the scripture says, they without us are not complete. Simply saying, we are part of God's sweeping program today. We are part of the process. There will be a day when it comes to a close. And all of us that know Christ will be united together. The program will be complete. Wow. God defines himself by his relationship with his people. The God of all history. Have you ever thought about that? Have you literally even paused for half a second and allowed the thought to latch? God existed before history. We go, well, how was that? If God hadn't created, there wouldn't be history as we know it. Isn't that fascinating? Or is that just fascinating to an old guy like me? The God of creation, the God of history, but more importantly, the God of right now, today, the same God, unchanged, loving his people, caring for his people, defending his people. Sometimes we think we need to defend God. We've got it backwards. God's our defender. He doesn't need me to stand up and defend him. He's well capable of demonstrating who he is. The New Testament brings this truth into full view. Romans 8 and 16 says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In prayer this morning, I heard somebody say, thank you, Lord, that we're your kids, that you know us, and we get to be your children. Wow. Amen. Amen. Get to be one of God's kids. And the Spirit bears witness within us. And have you ever met somebody for the very first time and it almost felt like your spirit kind of leaped for joy? Because our spirit bears witness to the spirit that is in them. It's the same spirit, that of Christ. I just experienced that this past week. We aren't just looking at back at history as outsiders. Because of Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our Father. The faith of our spiritual mothers and fathers is our inheritance. Why do I cherish the Word of God? I want to know what God did in their lives. Man, you want to read about some of the most messed up people that ever walked the face of the earth? Read your Bible. And yet God said, I want that one. And I want that one. He wants us all. But he loves to hold up his people and say, these are my trophies. Look at what I've created. Have you ever thought God's proud of you? Okay, not in a stuck-up manner, but he's proud of you. These are my kids. Wow. We stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. We are filled with the same Holy Spirit and the resurrection power to share Jesus with our world today. The song goes on and it declares our unwavering confidence in God. The song says, what you were back then, come and be again. We want to be part of your story. Guys, you've heard me say before that sometimes I just feel like I just need Jesus so bad. That I know he's here. But just that feeling of, man, God, somehow or another, I need more of you. I want more of you. And I've got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to have. I just need to listen to him a little better. And allow him to begin to move more like he chooses to move. We want to be part of God's story. Our praise becomes loud because it's hope-filled. Why? Because our God has proven to be reliable and unshakable repeatedly across history. Look at Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. I want you to grab that. It does not say the Lord your God is a God. It says the Lord your God is God. There's all kinds of gods in the world. You know, money, sex, whatever it might be, cars, motorcycles, big houses, whatever. But there is only a God that is God. Okay? He is the faithful God. Have you ever just messed up your Christian life so bad that you were like, oh man, I hope God didn't see how bad I messed it up.
Yeah.
And what's God do? I'm your daddy. Come here. Come here. Now, I don't want you doing that again, but brush you off. Let's go on down the road. There was a time when God said, go back and start over if you read the Old Testament. He told the Israelites, go back and do your first works. You've forgotten who I am. Sometimes I think God should do that to us under grace, but he chose a different path. I got you. Let me pick you up. I'll carry you. Wow. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love. Now listen to this. To 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? That's pretty clear instruction. Now, I don't stand around and read the commandments all day and check them off. Okay, I kept that one today. Messed that one up. I'll do better on that one tomorrow. I don't do that. In fact, truthfully, beyond the 10, I probably can't quote very many of the other 603. Okay? 613 total, if I'm correct. Am I correct? I thought it was correct. Okay. Sorry. But I look at my life, and what do I see? I can see the majority of the areas reflect Jesus. Not perfectly, okay? I'm not a perfect reflection. But when I look back to when I came to him and what he's done now, wow, what a privilege to get to reflect Jesus. And I can see that I'm living out the commandments. How? By his grace through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I love him because he loves me. 1,000 generations? That's what it says. Now, my mind can't even conceive of 1,000 generations. Okay, I mean, roughly 40,000 years. But I mean, you'd have a generation serving and a new generation coming in. So it would have to be over that. So my mind goes, okay, but that's the God we serve. His love extends to 1,000 generations. When life feels unsteady, in Deuteronomy, we have an ancient promise that we can anchor ourselves to. And in the New Testament, we really see that reality. 1 Thessalonians 4:24, simple verse. He who calls you faithful, who also will do it. Our God is faithful. He will accomplish what he has set out to accomplish. There is no doubt about it. If he sustained our spiritual ancestors through wars, trials, death, tribulations, he will sustain you as his child. Jesus built his church. Over and over and over again, he has proven himself reliable. Do you think that's going to change now?
No.
Absolutely not. He will stay reliable. Okay? We serve a God that is eternal. We're not content with just reading about past revivals. You ever cried out, oh my God, I need to be revived. My God, renew my spirit. Okay? Psalmist David cried out, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Okay? Be refreshed, renewed. We don't want to just read about ancient revivals. I love to hear mission stories. I love to share mission stories. I love to hear what happened to people. I'll stop people in different settings and we'll sit down and say, tell me your story. How did you meet Jesus? Why? Because I love those stories of what God is doing in every life I encounter. But guys, I want him to keep doing it. I want to grab those stories and say, God, do it again. Do it now. Breathe fresh life into us. Breathe in us the moving of the Holy Spirit. Free us to really be who we're called to be as your kids. We do want it here. We want it in our lives, our homes, and in our churches. That desire forms the ultimate heart behind the chorus and the bridge of the song. In our time, in our day, this is the prayer. Come and move in this place. Right here where I am, Jesus. Right here in Loveland Vineyard this morning, Jesus, come and move. Show your glory to your sons and daughters. Wow. Right out of the scripture. Habakkuk 3 and 2 says this. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known, and in wrath remember mercy. Oh my goodness. This ancient minor prophet cries out, I'm in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. The same cry that we're putting into that prayer when we sing, God of our mothers and fathers, come and do it again, Lord. I need to be alive in you again. I don't want to just do church. I want to be the church. I don't want to just be a Christian, a little Jesus. I want to be a faithful Christ follower. I want people to know you by you using me in an encounter. I want to be your instrument. Lord, I love being your kid. Now use me as you would. Wimber saying, spend me as loose change in your pocket. We're looking into heaven as we sing the song. And we're asking God, please do it again. Do it today, right here in Loveland, Colorado. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he quoted from the prophet Joel. Look what he says. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. That is a big part of the heart of the Vineyard DNA. Did you know that? Pastor Marshall and I were talking this week, and I was telling him that it's exciting for me that, one, our churches are growing worldwide. We're growing more outside the United States than in the United States, but we do have growth in the United States, and it excites me. But you know what even excites me more is that more and more of our churches have made the full transition to the next generation of leadership. Did you know the vast majority of our Vineyard pastors are under 50 years old? That is awesome. It really is. Because the transition is necessary. Because if they're going to reach their generation and the generation that's coming up with them, the next generation, okay, they don't need old men like me in the pulpit all the time, okay? They need someone that's their age, understands their circumstances, their lifestyles. They're different than mine, okay? So that thrills me. It means the church is continuing to move forward. Generational revival isn't just about preserving old traditions. It's about the Holy Spirit impacting multiple generations, oftentimes impacting them simultaneously. The generation that is about to step into the arms of Jesus, the generation that has taken their place in the church pew, in church leadership, in advancing the gospel, the generation that is being raised by that generation that are now filling the church pews and leading our churches. It is the Holy Spirit impacting multiple generations at the same time. It's old men like Marshall. Oh, no. Sorry, that just slipped out. Just so you know, Marshall is younger than my youngest son. It's old men dreaming alongside daughters prophesying and young men with visions. Wow. It's a vibrant, multiple generation move of the supernatural grace of God. This reflects the song's bridge. Come take the vineyard you planted and make us new wine. Now, let me be clear here. That's not a reference to the Vineyard Church. I mean, it feels nice because we're vineyard people. But it really isn't a vineyard at all. It's not a reference to the Vineyard Church. It's talking about the corporate church, the big C church, the vineyard God planted. If you know Jesus, your life is a link in the chain of God's saving grace. Power and will give him glory. Like the original little tiny phone memo, your prayers, your faithfulness, your worship are setting up a spiritual inheritance for your family and for the people that you encounter that you share Jesus with. As we close today, I shared some prayer earlier. I pray that our faith becomes our legacy. You might build a business and pass it to the next generation and the next generation. That's wonderful. God bless you. You might have a trade, a skill that you teach, an educator. That's wonderful. But above all else, I pray that our legacy is a faith in Christ that has passed from generation to generation. Ephesians 3 and 21. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing God of Our Fathers one more time. I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able. And as we do, my wife's going to come and join me. If you'd like prayer, we'll be up here. Pastor Marissa is in the back by the cross. If you'd like to pray back there, or if you'd like to attach a personal prayer to the cross, this is the time. As we sing this song, let's pray right now for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring that changes us, that stirs us, that ignites us, that we pass on to our children and our grandchildren and to the community around us. Let that be our prayer as we sing.